Father in heaven, thank you for today. Thank you for this amazing group of people that we get to do ministry with. Father, be with us as we continue in this worship, as we study your word, as we figure out what it is you're trying to tell us this morning. We're just so excited. Father, I would ask that our hearts would be open, our minds would be clear, and probably more importantly, that you help me get out of the way and you allow these words to be yours, not mine. And so it's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen. So we're kind of at an interesting point. For those of you who are here regularly, you know that I typically preach in series. And so we'll take a month or 2 months and we'll go through a book of the Bible or a specific topic. Well, the way the calendar worked out with me being gone last week and we're gone again next week, I kind of had 1 week in between that it didn't make a whole lot of sense to start a series. And so that gave me opportunity to preach what they call a standalone sermon. And so series they're great for me because it allows me to keep my focus on one topic or study one book, but they also tend to, or they can, stifle creativity or maybe even stifle what God is leading me to teach. And so today is kind of exciting. I purposely left my calendar blank, knowing I would be at the Leadership Summit last week, knowing I would have been with a group of pastors for about a week, and I was hoping and praying that God would show me or open my eyes to whatever it is he wanted me to teach for today, which was both exhilarating and terrifying. And so at the Global Leadership Summit, for those of you who don't know, I went to Chicago and got to hear some amazing guys and gals speak about leadership. And so some of them were up there and they would kind of lecture. I got to hear kind of my idol's not a good word as a preacher, but a guy I really look up to, Andy Stanley. I got to hear him talk. It was amazing. Some other people that were okay speakers and messages didn't really apply to me, but it was still awesome. Had a blast. And then there were some speakers that got up and just shared their stories. They were amazing stories. I bought one of the speaker's books and read her story about how she was a refugee from Rwanda and was the only person from her family to make it out of the genocide. And so hearing her story and the stories like her about how God has impacted their life just made me think, I like to tell stories too. It's one of the things I pride myself on being good at. At least I think I'm good. Maybe you don't. I like to tell stories. Let me give you an example. Has anyone here heard the story about how I broke my jaw playing football? No? That's shocking that I've been here for this long. No one has heard that story. So my sophomore year of high school, I broke my jaw in a JV football game. And it really, in reality, it was a very ordinary night with a very average or below average player with a minor injury. It wasn't that big of a deal. And that's kind of how I told the story initially. But as I told it more and more and as I got older, the story kind of grew and grew and grew and kind of became legendary. And so I would start the story off like, well, it was a cool autumn night in Farmington, Missouri. There was a chill in the air. The crowd was roaring. Like, I would start it like that, but in reality, I don't know if it was cool or not, but I do know there was probably 20 people in the stands. I mean, it was a JV football game, for God's sakes. But the story grew and grew and grew, and as I continued to tell it, it ends very similarly to the movie Rudy. Has anyone ever seen the movie Rudy? That's how that story ends. In reality, that probably wasn't what happened, but I love telling stories. So I got to think, how would other people tell my story? Well, that particular story, people would probably tell it, if they remember, no one remembers it, but they would probably tell it how it happened. It wouldn't be as robust and as exaggerated as I told. And then I thought about my other stories. When I'm not around, or when people talk about me as a person, as a believer, as a father, as all these things, like, what's my story going to be? And so today, instead of digging through a ton of scripture, I'm going to ask a question. I'm going to support it with some scripture, of course. I'm going to ask a question that I would challenge us to think about as we walk through today's message. And the question is this: what story do you want told when you are nothing more than a story to tell? Write that down if you're a note taker. and it'll be up here for a while, so don't rush. What story do you want told when you are nothing more than a story to tell? Can we all agree that at some point we're not going to be here? So either we're going to die or Jesus is going to come back. Those are kind of one of two options. And so at some point, you and I will be nothing more than a story to tell. What story do we want told? What story do we want told when we are nothing more than a story to tell? Will your legacy be that you are a great teacher, a brilliant scholar, a below-average JV football player, as in my case, an amazing hunter, a great father, brother, sister, mother, aunt, uncle? What is your legacy going to be after you are no longer here to tell your own story? It's an interesting question if you stop and think about it. What have I done to write my own story? And so I started kind of flipping through the text, again, kind of the joy of preaching a standalone sermon, and the negative of it is I had this Bible in front of me with countless and almost endless stories that I could use to apply to this message. So I picked a guy who, for whatever reason, I tend to resonate with, and that's Paul. Paul was a guy, or Saul, rather, was a guy who was writing a story very different than how it ended. And so do you all know how the story of Paul or Saul? Are we familiar with that? So Saul was a guy who, after Christ had died on the cross and after he ascended into heaven, made it his mission to kill and persecute Christians. So Saul was a guy bound and determined to eradicate Christianity from the globe. That was his life's mission. And then as the story goes, and you could read about it in the book of Acts, Paul was walking along a road one day on his way to Damascus when Christ himself blinded him. And through that ordeal, through his Damascus road experience, Paul became a follower of Christ. And then his story takes a drastic turn. What's interesting, if you think about the life of Saul or Paul, if that doesn't happen, if Damascus Road doesn't happen, we don't know who he is. He's another name in history. We wouldn't be talking about Paul unless he had converted from Saul to Paul. And so his ministry continues, and you can read through it in the New Testament. He's responsible for more than half of the books of the New Testament. And we get to the very, very end of his ministry in 2 Timothy, his last letter, as he's in jail, about ready to die. And then Paul sums up his story, his legacy, in a really, really, really beautiful way. So turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 4. And we're going to start in verse 6. And so if you've been to a funeral, you have heard this verse. I can almost guarantee it. It's a very, very popular verse, but it's so fitting when we talk about what our story is. Paul writes to Timothy, "For I am already being poured out like a drink offering, and the time for my departure is near. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award me on that day. And not only to me, but also those who have longed for his appearing." Paul, in his last words, as he's summarizing his life, isn't listing his assets. He's not talking about houses. He's not even talking about the jobs he had. Paul's legacy isn't going to be defined by the things of this earth. Paul's legacy isn't of this world. When people sit around and talk about Paul, they talk about the impact he made on the kingdom of heaven. Paul's legacy is in heaven. Let me read it again. "For I am already being poured out like a drink offering, and the time for my departure is near. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith." And pay attention to verse 8. "Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And not only to me, but to all who have longed for his appearing. That's a good passage. And so when if you're taking notes, you ask yourself the question, what story do I want to be told when I am nothing more than a story to tell? The key point to this, or the answer to that question, is your eternal legacy should always eclipse your earthly one. Your eternal legacy should always eclipse your earthly one. And so we can look at that a couple of different ways. Your eternal legacy should always eclipse your earthly legacy. And so let's think about like our different hats that we wear, specifically starting with our relationships. So in your relationships, what legacy are you leaving? When your kids tell the story about their mom or their dad, what's their story going to be? Andy Stanley last week at the summit made a comment that blew my mind. So here I am at this leadership summit. I'm thinking, okay, how do I get all these tools to equip me to do ministry better, to lead better? And he says this one line that was like a bomb dropped on me. He's like, what if your greatest gift, your greatest contribution isn't what you do, but someone you raise? Like, what if that's my calling? What if my legacy, what if my story isn't so much about what I do, but it's about how I pour into the generation after me? What if God is not calling me, or what if God is calling me to build my kids up, to open the doors for them to do great things for the kingdom? This is a selfless plug, but we think about what's happening downstairs right now in Kids Spring. And I get it, it's tough to volunteer down there. It's tough to miss sermons. It's tough to kids can be tough sometimes. I get it, because my kids are down there. But what if that's what God is calling us to do? What if we're supposed to equip the next generation to do great things? What if that's our contribution? What if that's our story? Isn't so much what we do, but how we prepare others to do it. What about in our relationships with our spouse? What's my story going to be as it pertains to my relationship with my wife? What's your story as it pertains to your relationship with your husband, your mom, your dad, your brother, your sister? What are we doing to set ourselves up, not for an earthly legacy, not for a story that tells really well here on earth, but for a story that forever affects the layout of eternity? Our earthly legacy should always, if we're doing it right, eclipse our eternal legacy. Flip that around. Your eternal legacy should always eclipse your earthly legacy. If we're doing this right, and by this I mean life, if we're doing this right, it shouldn't be about the things we do here on the earth. It should be about the things that are forever impacting what's going on in heaven. And so switch gears a little further. What about in your job? Teachers going back to school. How are you writing a story that affects eternity in your classrooms? Every day we all go to work. How do we write a story that affects eternity? This is a very, very personal story that I will share. But when we moved here about a year and a half ago, things aren't official until what? They are Facebook, thank you. Facebook official. And so I changed my social media profile. I changed my Facebook and LinkedIn, and I went from whatever it said before, probably director of sales, to pastor. And I got some feedback that I expected to get from some of my friends and some of my contacts, but I got one message in my LinkedIn inbox that I will never, ever forget. It was a girl or a lady that I'd worked with for about 5 years, and we weren't close by any means, but we knew each other. We had worked together for 5 years. We sat close to each other, and so she knew who I was. I knew who she was, and she sent a message that said, "That's so great. You're a pastor, ... I had no idea you were even a believer." It crushed me. For 5 years, she had worked with me, and I hadn't done one thing that would have indicated to her that I was a follower of Christ. My eternal legacy was non-existent at my job. That's heartbreaking. And so when you think about what you're doing Monday through Friday, I get things are busy and things are tough and you have projects and deadlines and all these things. But if you're not leaving a lasting impression on the people that you're around, where they at least know what your faith is and what your heart is, then I would question if we're doing it right. What story do you want told when you are nothing but a story to tell? What about here at Hot Springs Wesleyan Church? What's our story going to be? God is calling us to overflow into the world. We are called to develop fully devoted followers of Christ. We are called to disciple men and women into a relationship with Christ that is so real and is so deep that they have no room for anything else in their life. What's our story going to be? Is our story going to be that, hey, we're a good enough church with decent programming? You see, you hear a halfway decent sermon most of the time. The kids' ministry is okay. Or you hear people say, well, they're fulfilling my spiritual needs. I'm not saying all those things are bad in nature, but if that's our story and that's it, then I think we're missing the mark. I think God's calling us to be dangerous. I think God's calling us to do things that no one else is willing and ready to do for the gospel of Jesus Christ. I think we're called to care more about what happens in the lives of our connections and the people that we're discipling. I think we're called to care more about that than what happens here on Sunday morning. It's kind of a weird way to think about church. It's less about what we do here on Sunday and more about what happens the other 6 days of the week. What is our story going to be? What is your story? What is my story going to be? And so the question is, how do we ensure our eternal legacy eclipses our earthly one? There's a million different ways to go about looking at it. My story is going to be different than yours. Yours is going to be different than mine. And so it's hard for me to say, okay, if you do X, Y, and Z, this is how we can do that. But I think for us to start, we can look at that text we just read from Paul, and I think it sums it up beautifully. He said, you fight the good fight. You think about that, like this faith, this walk that we have, there are going to be times where it's going to be a struggle. It's going to be an uphill battle. It's going to require you to fight for your faith. It means finishing the race. Even when we want to quit, even when it's really hard and we want to give up, we finish what we've started. And in all of that, we keep the faith. What story do you want told when you, when I, were nothing more than a story to tell? When I was finishing up this, writing this sermon, I thought about something that Dan Puckett regularly tells me. He always talks about someone that he's praying for, and typically it's someone he's been praying for a long time, and he always says that at that heavenly banquet, he's like, I really hope that I get to see them there. And that's what it's all about. When we say your heavenly, your eternal legacy, it's about looking up one day when our time on this earth is done and seeing someone that probably wouldn't have been there had your story been written differently. There was a song written in the 90s, and I am not going to sing it. I am not going to play it because it is a very 90s song, but I am going to read it. It summarizes this, I think, pretty well, so bear with me here. It said, I dreamed I went to heaven, and you were there with me. We walked upon the streets of gold beside the crystal sea. We heard the angels singing, and someone called your name. We turned and saw a young man running, and he was smiling as he came. And he said, friend, you may not know me now. And then he said, but wait, you used to teach my Sunday school when I was only 8. And every week you would say a prayer before the class would start. And one day when you said that prayer, I asked Jesus in my heart. He said, thank you for giving to the Lord. I am a life that was changed. Thank you for giving to the Lord. I am so glad you gave. And then another man stood before you and said, remember the time. A missionary came to your church and his pictures made you cry. You didn't have much money, but you gave it anyway. Jesus took the gift you gave, and that's why I'm here today. And one by one they came as far as the eye could see, each life somehow changed or touched by your generosity. Little things that you had done, sacrifices made, unnoticed on the earth, in heaven, now proclaimed. And he finishes the song. It says, I know up in heaven you're not supposed to cry, but I am almost sure there were tears in your eyes. As Jesus took your hand and you stood before the Lord, he said, my child, look around you, for great is your reward. What's your story going to be, church? What is your eternal legacy? Let's pray. Father in heaven, I thank you so much for today. And I thank you that you're not done writing my story. Father, my prayer for us as a body of believers, as we continue on this mission that you have called us to do, that we will do everything in our power to affect the landscape of heaven. Father, we want to look up one day and see someone that we've been praying for, someone that we've ministered to, someone that we've loved, that through your grace, not by us, through your grace came to know you and were saved. Father, we ask these things today in Jesus' name. Amen.